This is the web stream of KBOO Portland. KBOO is 100% community supported. If you have not yet become a member, go to the website kboo.fm and click on the tip jar.
Some of my ideas to actually try to produce revenue, which will also help them on their plan on accomplishing that. So anyway, again, on May 19th, there'll be a day called Lightning Sacred Ground Day, which will be at City Hall, and it'll be kind of a gathering of people. Again, what that day is basically people to more or less with their own messages or what they want to deliver pertaining to the earth, come and join all of us for that day. And that's really what that means, the Sacred Ground Day at City Hall. And again, as you stated, on the art plus action equals artivism is really just a bunch of people getting together and standing for basically ideas and messages that they want to try to improve throughout the city. And basically we're at City Hall sometimes going in and doing our speeches on Wednesday to try to bring those messages basically to the attention of the current mayor and the other commissioners to see if we can't, you know, create some positive change.
And so you've established, what do you call this piece here?
Well, basically I do call it the Lightning Sacred Ground is what I call it. And again, it's just trying to take some of your thoughts and ideas and messages and applying art with that to really bring it to the attention of people around your artwork. And I think it's been very effective, and a lot of people have come by and taken a look at it. They read the messages, they look at some of the artwork I've done, and I think it's it gets a lot of people asking a lot of different questions, and then we can try to, you know, move forward on certain issues, and I think it's been very effective overall.
And all of the pieces here are found objects?
Yes, everything I have here is, like I say, a lot of the stone and as you can see, the wood and various other things are obviously, as you know, from just the earth itself, from nature. And a lot of things that I have here are also symbolic of, as you can see, the salmon, the eagle. We have the wolf and various other things there. I think the project actually turned out pretty good in overall for what I wanted it to do.
So the salmon that you're talking about, it's a really cool looking piece of driftwood.
Yes,
that's got a shape to it, and one end of it is very reminiscent of a salmon head.
Yes, it is.
Once you pointed out to me that it was a salmon, I saw it immediately. You even got a little bit of a sort of a fly tied that's in its mouth, which is a bit of a bobber from an old lure, and a couple of the random pieces and a feather stuck there. I really like that one. The other day you were telling me about the eagle, which
the
is
eagle
just
is,
a
yeah. It's a when I saw this this stone, it appears to look like an eagle, and so I really like that. And like I say, I picked that one out. And then, as you can see, I have a couple boats over here too. I've done a little bit of carving on the boats, but basically, again, I found them pretty much the way they were, and just visually was looking for certain, you know, pieces that I could use in my art project here.
Tell me some of the other images that are represented in some of these pieces here.
Right down by the sturgeon is kind of it's more of like a blue herring type piece. As you can kind of see the way that rotates, that kind of looks like a snake coming up. Down here is kind of like on the rock there, it kind of looks like a lizard there, that one piece of wood coming up there. The way the roots come down here and drop down is, to me, the name here is called Lightning Sacred Ground, but I feel that lightning actually goes down through the roots too. As you can see, if you see the appearance of the roots, it appears to look like lightning. And I really wanted to kind of emphasize that. The smaller teepee here, and this is more or less kind of almost like a cave type image. And right down here, you do have another bird that comes up. As you can see, the beak right here, different arrowheads. You have the shield right here.
It looks kind of like a teepee.
Yes.
Right beside the river or something.
Exactly. What I wanted to do is almost in a lot of the way, create something that what I considered in my mind, which would be called the clearing down by like Tom McCall Waterfront Park, back in the day when the Indians actually had the area and were using the area, and they called it the clearing. And I wanted to kind of do something in my mind which would be similar to what possibly would have been there many, many years ago.
And so you told me a while back you were inspired to do this project because of the declaration of the city to celebrate World Environment Day.
Yes.
And I went on the website and saw that they're encouraging people to do art projects between Earth Day and World Environment Day.
Yes, yes, that is correct. And again, that was the reason why I wanted to do this project, and also with my project, I wanted to have my various messages also included within my artwork, which I think has been very effective to, again, getting people just to ask questions when they view it. What is this really about? And then going off into your messages, World Environment Day, tying it all together has been very positive to be able to do that.
Yeah, looks like we might have another found object to go in. What'd you find there? A couple of keys.
Well, somebody's keys they dropped there. But
here, we'll put these. Maybe they'll come back for them. So is there anything else you want to say about the project and World Environment Day and Portland's efforts at respecting the environment and that kind of
thing? I think there's been a lot of efforts being made to do that. And again, just protect your environment, the earth, in any way you possibly can. View it as something sacred, something that we need to spend a little more time and attention in addressing those issues. And again, I think this World Environment Day on June 5th is very positive to bring that to the attention of a lot of people throughout Portland, and also addressing my messages and the 10-year plan on ending homelessness and world poverty and clean rivers, and anything you can possibly do that will make Portland a better place to live and improve the lives of the people throughout Portland.
Great. Well, thanks for spending time talking with me. And I also wanted to, the sailboat that you did is really nice. Tell me about that.
Yes, I, like I say, found this piece of wood again. I went out there and I did a little bit of carving on this, but again, it was more or less visually seeing what was already currently there. And I think it turned out really good. And again, that was just the overall kind of the art that I want to portray here with the boats, like you were saying. And has a smaller boat right there too that I hand carved a few little type weapons there, as you can see. And I've got a little bow and arrow right down there too. So I just kind of carved a few things like that and put it together. And I think it turned out pretty good overall, in my opinion. So
yeah, I have to agree. It's really a nice little site. It shows a lot of care, and I hope that it grows, and maybe we'll touch back with you on World Environment Day.
That sounds great. Thank you.
Thanks again.
Thanks, Lightning. A lot, man, really.
So again, that was our friend Lightning and his Lightning Sacred Ground space, which is at the Portland City Hall patio. Drop by and visit. I'm sure he'd be happy to talk with you. His display is in celebration of World Environment Day, a six-week celebration that kicks off today. If you'd like more information about various community activities, you can go to portlandoregon, that's one word, .gov/WED. And on that webpage, you'll find a calendar which highlights a host of events occurring across the area in the next 6 weeks, including a Leave No Trace awareness workshop that'll happen at PCC Sylvania this coming Thursday, April 25th. A heritage tree dedication, which will be taking place at the Hoyt Arboretum Visitors Center on Tuesday, April 30th. There'll be a variety of bike breakfasts happening around the city, and one of the highlights of the celebration is the Dalai Lama Environmental Summit, which will be happening at the Childs Center on the University of Portland. That's Thursday, May 9th from 1:30 till 3 p.m. His Holiness the Dalai Lama will be speaking, and after his talk, he will be taking questions from the audience. So again, thank you for listening, and happy Earth Day. We've been talking about the World Environment Day celebration, which is a six-week-long community-wide celebration that begins today. And again, that information is available at Portland, Oregon. That's one word, .gov/WED. And be sure to check out KBOO.FM/WED, where we'll soon have some pictures of the Lightning Sacred Ground at Portland City Hall. And if you are in the area, stop by, take a look for yourself, ask for Lightning. I'm sure he'd be glad to talk with you. Once again, happy Earth Day and happy World Environment Day celebration. For KBOO, I'm Jimmy Tardy.
And you are listening to special programming on KBOO Portland. Special programming all day for Earth Day. Public affairs until 7 p.m. and then we switch to all nature sounds. Coming up next, Paul Rowland interviews John Stauber, longtime activist, investigative reporter, and author. They will discuss Stauber's beginnings and history as an activist, from protesting the Vietnam War and organizing a teach-in at his high school on the first Earth Day in 1970. This KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Edgefield Concerts, presenting Rodrigo E. Gabriella, Michael Franti with Spearhead, and The Flaming Lips this summer. Tickets for Rodrigo E. Gabriella, Michael Franti, and The Flaming Lips are on sale now at edgefieldconcerts.com. This program is also made possible by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from the Clinton Street Theater, featuring independent and revival films, the Rocky Horror Picture Show every Saturday at midnight, as well as the monthly KBOO Movie Night. The Clinton Street Theater is located at the corner of Southeast Clinton and 26th in Portland. Schedule and information at 503-238-5588 or cstpdx.com.
Hi, my name is Paul Rowland, and this next part of today's Earth Day special features John Stauber, who I spoke with on March 19th while he was in town for the ILHE lecture series. Stauber has had a long and sustained history as an activist, investigative reporter, and author, and is founder and for many years director of the Center for Media and Democracy. He also edited the center's newsletter, PR Watch. Over the course of a wide-ranging interview, I gained great respect for the persistence, courage, and integrity with which he's approached his life's work, taking on government, corporations, and the public relations industry time and again, while maintaining a sense of humor and of perspective on the limits and possibilities of trying to be what he calls a change agent. It's especially fitting to air this interview today, as Stauber organized a shutdown of his high school for a teach-in on the first Earth Day in 1970. We talked about his beginnings and history as an activist since he started speaking out and protesting against the Vietnam War while he was in high school in the late 1960s, and about his work exposing government and industry propaganda, including environmental greenwashing. Of particular importance on the occasion of Earth Day, whose original radical impetus, coming out of the ferment of the 1960s, has been long since diluted, diffused, and often co-opted by the very status quo it had challenged, is our discussion of the way the large environmental nonprofit, or big green groups, have often allied themselves with big money foundations, the Democratic Party, and the interests of Wall Street, and taken energy and funding away from grassroots groups and campaigns, working toward deeper and more comprehensive change. In addition to hundreds of articles for PR Watch and other print and online publications, Stauber has co-authored six books, including Toxic Sludge is Good for You, Trust Us, We're Experts, and Weapons of Mass Deception, The Uses of Propaganda in Bush's War on Iraq. I began by asking him where he's currently living and about the subject of his ILHE lecture the evening of our interview, which was aired live on KBOO and can be found in our archives at kboo.fm. Here from Madison, right?
Actually, Viola, Wisconsin, which is in this gorgeous, unique geologic area called the Driftless that was never glaciated. And it's where Wisconsin, Illinois, Minnesota, and Iowa all come together. Really gorgeous area. The Mississippi River dissects it. The Ilahi lecture series this year is Who Controls Fill in the Blank, and my talk is Who Controls Your Media. My beat has been, for the last 20 years, primarily propaganda. And I'll talk about media, propaganda, how propaganda is used to protect the status quo and to prevent fundamental democratic change. 20 years ago, in 1993, after decades of various headbutting, organizing, and activist work, the role of public relations firms and the public relations industry, the corporate and government propaganda experts, was brought home to me when I was spied upon by one of the world's largest PR firms, Burson Marsteller, working for Monsanto and other companies on the genetically engineered food issue. And I launched an investigation. I was working with Jeremy Rifkin's Foundation on Economic Trends at the time. I launched an investigation into the way the U.S. government, at that time it was the Clinton-Gore administration, was colluding with Monsanto and other genetic engineering firms to prevent any labeling of genetically engineered food. And this, way back then, 20, 25 years ago, was the first one, the milk from cows injected with genetically engineered bovine growth hormone. So I did a massive Freedom of Information Act investigation and got a lot of their internal PR and lobby documents, and it just dawned on me that the reason that special interests, the powerful, the elite, maintain control isn't just that they own the politicians, they have all the money. It's also that they control the message through the media, and they're expert at what is called perception management, and they're able to control and manage public opinion and ultimately public policy through organized, very expensive, very invisible propaganda campaigns. So I made that my next target of organizing an investigation, and I started a quarterly called PR Watch through a group I had founded that I named the Center for Media and Democracy. And I ran that. I did all the fundraising.